ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो दिस आफ्टरनून विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज. This is chapter 9, verse 27. Yat karoshi yadashnashi yajjuho shidadashiyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kuru swamadarpanam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called Archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very cold audience. I'm not sure it's because of the prasadam in the afternoon or the actual weather. Okay, let us all loudly chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. This verse from the 9th chapter, Srila Prabhupada titled this chapter as the most confidential knowledge. There are very subtle instructions in this particular verse, which I thought I will discuss this afternoon and see if we can connect that with the theme of this retreat over the weekend, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. There are 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And among the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, there are 2 most important and powerful. One is the tongue, and the second is the ears. So the soul or the atma get information through these two important senses. That is the eyes also. But our acharyas, they give great emphasis to these two particular senses. And the reason is very simple. Because even while we are sleeping, all the other senses within our body may be dormant. They may not be active. But the sense of hearing is active. That's why we have an alarm clock. And no matter how deep of a sleep you are in, when the alarm rings, you wake up. So this sense, even when a person is in coma, somebody who was totally like a dead vegetable, but the sense of hearing is active. And there are, you know, this has been researched and proved, that even a person who is in coma, you whisper something to his ears, he is able to understand internally. Recently I was at the hospital in Bombay, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. They have a morgue there. You know, it's a place where they keep dead people or somebody who is dead and they were supposed to be taken. Interestingly, in the morgue, they had the chanting of Prabhupada's Hare Krishna going on in a speaker. And I was a little surprised. I said, these are dead people. Why are you playing this Maha Mantra to dead people? So this devotee explained to me that when the soul leaves the body, the soul hovers around the body for some time till the actual cremation of the body happens. So between the next destination and the previous destination, the soul is hanging. And the most important thing at that time is if the soul gets an opportunity to hear Krishna's holy name from the lips of a pure devotee. So that is how powerful this process of hearing is. And this is emphasized again and again within our scriptures. So smartavya satato Vishnu vismartavya nadyatuchit. Now most of us know the first part. You know, we recite it, and sometimes it may seem contradictory also, because Vyasadeva is saying, remember and also don't forget. How is that possible? If you are remembering something, you are naturally not forgetting it. And if you are not forgetting something, then you are naturally remembering it. So we'll try to analyze this through this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita. Now, the second part, sarve vidhi nishedashur etayor eva kinkara. Now, this part is very significant, because Vyasadeva here is mentioning, now he's the author of the Vedas. He's compiled the Upanishads, the four Vedas he has divided, the Puranas. So he's saying that this verse is like the king of all the verses. And every verse that follows before or after this verse, eta yor eva kinkara. Kinkara means servant. All the other verses are servant of this verse, which is very significant, because we are chanting every day verses from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. But this verse, and basically what is this verse saying? This verse is basically telling us that we are supposed to remember Krishna all the time and not forget Krishna. So long back, I remember we were discussing this verse in a program, and there was one devotee in this program. He asked me this question: how do we follow this instruction? And so we had a long discussion back and forth, And the conclusion was very interesting. Although we were discussing it, the conclusion is actually stated in the scriptures. The conclusion is that how do we always remember Krishna? Always remembering Krishna happens by chanting Hare Krishna. When we are chanting the holy names, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, you are naturally remembering Krishna, if you are attentive. And the second part, not forgetting Krishna happens by engaging our senses in Krishna's service. So the first part, most of us are aware of this, and this is something we are doing every day. Most of us are chanting Krishna's holy names as attentively as possible. Now, I want to use this particular verse to understand the importance of sacrifice, because in Kali Yuga, the means of deliverance is through Nama Yajna, through the process of chanting the holy names. Now, let us go back and take the instructions from Srimad Bhagavad Gita and trying to understand the importance of sacrifice. Now, most of us who are introduced to the process of bhakti, you know, we have our understanding about what this process means. And most of us are given because we know that bhakti is the highest. Although there is this yoga ladder which Bhagavad Gita describes and discusses, we have no clear understanding or the value of what we are receiving. Right? So sometimes it is better to go and see, okay, what are the other things that are there to appreciate bhakti. And Krishna so beautifully explains this in Bhagavad Gita. Because usually what happens is, when we are studying Bhagavad Gita, we are focused, most of us are focused on the essence. Because the essence is bhakti. But how do we reach that state? That is important. Otherwise, we may be doing bhakti, knowing that there is not bhakti. There is something else. Because I'm not sure how many of you are having this question. I'm practicing devotional service so many years, but I'm the still dumb guy for so many years. So there may be something missing. We are thinking about something, but it is not what we are thinking. So in the beginning of the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very systematically explains the cycle of material existence. Now, I want to briefly talk about karma, action. Now, what is karma? Anybody? Okay, everybody's practicing devotion, so nobody knows what is karma. Okay, the activities that we perform under the three modes of material nature. Okay, anybody else? Okay, very good. So activities that gives us our next body. Okay, anybody else? Every action has? Okay. Yes. Okay, an activity that has some reaction. Okay, what else, Timir? Okay, so activity we perform to gain something. Anybody else? You had a hand? Okay, very good. Now let us see what Krishna has to say about karma. Since he is Bhagavan, he knows best. So in the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks this similar question. Arjuna is asking Krishna, what is karma? And Krishna very beautifully describes it. Krishna says, Bhuta bhava udbhava karo visarga karma sangita. Krishna is saying, action pertaining to the development of material bodies of the living entities is called karma or fruitive activities. So the actions, the activities that we are performing that creates visarga. Sarga means creation, visarga means secondary creation. So when we are performing activities that creates our next body, that is karma. So now, this is a pretty basic and common definition. Some of us said, you know, we are doing our activities and there's a reaction for it. So yes, so while we are performing karma, while we are performing activities, our next body is being created. This is very, very important, extremely important for us to understand. That every activity that we are doing now, a body is getting created. Either up or down. Now again, this is just a basic fundamental principle that Krishna is teaching Arjuna. Now we may say, you know what, but how is it relevant to us? We are bhakti yogis. But even your bhakti yogis, you are performing action. And the result of that action could be uplifting or it could take you down. So this principle, Krishna begins in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talks about the creation. Krishna talks about the creation, that how this material world is created. So Krishna mentions in the beginning of the third chapter that how in the beginning Krishna says, Saha yagya praja shristva puro vacha prajapati anena pravisdhvayam eshavo istakamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent for generations of men and demigod. Now Krishna is explaining, now if you are falling asleep, you can sit straight. Sit straight. There is no scope for you to fall asleep. Because when you relax your body then, and this is also important because I was mentioning about hearing. If you are hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, in the state in which you are conditioning your body to this particular state. So next time when you sit in Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam class, your body naturally tends to say, okay, it's time to go to sleep. Because you are programming your body. You may be laughing, but that's a fact. The same applies for chanting. If you're chanting the holy names, and if you're programming your mind to wander here and there, so naturally the mind thinks, okay. Because some of you may be wondering, when I'm chanting, that's the time my mind wanders the most. Because you have given your mind free license. Okay, now chanting time has come. Now please go and wander. And if you are not cautious and if you are not careful about this in the beginning stages of our devotional service, this continues for many, many years. And you may not even know. Did I chant attentively? Did I hear the lecture attentively? So it's a science and it is a discipline, abhyas. Abhyas means you have to follow something. So here, it's important. If you are falling asleep, stand up or try to sit straight. Because we are trying to deprogram our conditioning. So here, in the beginning of creation, Krishna is saying that I have created men and demigods. Now you all cooperate with each other and live happily. So this is a principle of trying to become happy. Now, one may wonder that, okay, we also hear from Bhagavad Gita that this place is a place of misery. Now yes, it is a place of misery. But in the place of misery, you can still be happy. Now, how you can be happy? That is what Krishna is explaining here. If you want to be happy, Krishna is saying that you have to cooperate with my servants. You have to cooperate with demigods. Krishna is saying, in the beginning, I sent forth men and demigods. And he says, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Be thou happy. Now here Krishna first, this is the first place where Krishna introduces sacrifice. Now, this word yajna, most of us, when we use the word yajna, it means there is some fire, there's a yajna kund, and the priest is going swaha, swaha, and somebody is throwing grains. So that is the common definition of yajna that you and I are aware of. But Krishna's definition of yajna is, when you are performing the prescribed duty, when you are performing your prescribed duties, when you are performing your dharma, Krishna says that is also yajna. That is also sacrifice. If you are a man, you have your duties that your male body has to perform. If you are a woman, you have a duty that your woman body is supposed to perform. If you are a husband, if you are a mother, if you are a father, if you are a president, if you are a vice president, if you are a student, if you are a worker, everybody has some duty to perform. And if you are doing your duty in accordance with the scripture, then you are performing yajna. So this is the first principle. Now the second principle is yajna for whom? Who are we performing the yajna for? So Srila Prabhupada, in this third chapter, he titled the chapter Karma Yoga. Now majority of the common people, you can see, because it's very interesting to know that although this age is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, we are seeing rains coming. There are a lot of grains. There is milk production. Cows are giving milk. There's grains. There's rains. And in fact, Bhagavatam describes that when it rains in the night, it is considered the best. Because during the day, you don't have to worry about getting wet and everything. And most of the time in Chicago, we see it rains heavily in the night. So one may wonder, but people are so sinful, who's performing yajna? But we have to understand, when a man wakes up in the morning, 6 o'clock he wakes up, he has his breakfast and he goes to work, drives half an hour, take a train 1 hour, and he performs his prescribed duty, that is also yajna. Now he may not know that he's doing yajna, but he knows one thing, that he's doing his duty. So this doing this duty is such an important principle that Bhagavad Gita emphasizes, especially Krishna. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Do not let go or do not give up your duty. Do your duty. Now the important principle that Krishna is emphasizing is that do that for me. That is the sacrifice. So when we are doing our prescribed duties for the pleasure of Krishna, then that duty becomes karma yoga. You can use the word yoga only when it is offered to Krishna. If it is not offered to Krishna, you cannot call it karma yoga. Now our Acharya Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he really takes this message and this particular concept and details it out, which is very interesting. So let's see if we can, I can try to briefly explain some of the finer nuances that he explains about karma yoga. Now, and I will come to the theme, because some of you may wonder, this we have heard so many times, we know this. Let's get to the essence of our retreat, theme of retreat. But these principles are important for us to understand, because while we are acting in devotional service, is that action devotional service or something else? So most of us, when we are doing our activities, if it is not in accordance to the principles of bhakti yoga, then the result that you're going to get is not going to get Krishna prem, you're going to get something else. So that's the point I'm trying to derive it. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, in his explanation through these verses, he mentions that the ultimate goal of this first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion, he says, is that we have to come to a point where we are doing our duties without anything in return. I am performing action, but I don't want anything from that action. Now that's very hard, right? Because why we are struggling so much, why we are working so hard? We want some fruit. The motivation is that I am going to get something out of it. But gyan, he says, gyan arises in the heart of a living entity when you perform your duties, when you perform your activities without any selfish motive. Now please try to understand this. This is not, we are not talking about a devotee. Even a normal person who has nothing to do with devotional service, who has nothing to do with devotees, who has nothing to do with Krishna, if he is acting in this platform, nishkam, he is able to come to the understanding that I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. Try to understand this. He will come to the understanding that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. But what is the visheshita, what is the speciality about devotees? Now that same activities, when we offer it to Krishna, when we offer it to the representative of Krishna, then that whole activity transforms and it becomes bhakti. So now coming to this verse, yat karoshi yad ashnashi, yat johoshi yad adashi, here Krishna is saying that whatever you do, now again try to understand, karma, the prescribed duties, this is according to what is prescribed in the scriptures. Only those activities that is prescribed in the scriptures are called karma. If you are doing something else, that's not karma. So here Krishna is saying something else. What is Krishna saying here? Whatever you do, morning you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you drive. Krishna is saying, whatever you're doing, you do it for me. Now our acharyas explain that within the system of bhakti, there are 64 angas, which when we are doing, it is considered bhakti. And this basically is an expansion of the 9 process of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj's verse. So Rupa Goswami has expanded, he took those 9 verses, those 9 processes, and he expanded them, and he created the 64 angas of devotional service. So now, bhakti, when we are performing devotional service, anything that we are doing, if it falls in the 64 angas, only those activities are considered pure devotional service. If you are washing the pots, if you are washing the floor of the temple, if it doesn't fit in the 64 angas of devotional service, then it is not considered bhakti. So now here Krishna is saying that whatever you are doing, yat karoshi yad ashnashi, whatever you eat, whatever sacrifice you do, whatever charity you do, Krishna is saying you do it for me. So here Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, he is explaining that Arjuna, now try to understand this, now please give good attention to this what I'm saying. Arjuna, Krishna is saying Arjuna has karma adhikar. Because in the second chapter, 47th verse, Krishna says, karma neva adhikaraste. That my dear Arjuna, you have the right to perform your duty, you have the right to perform your karmas. So now in this verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna that my dear Arjuna, you have the right to perform your duty, but you don't have the adhikar to perform pure devotional service. Now this is quite intriguing. That Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna. And why is Krishna telling that you don't have the adhikar to perform pure devotional service? Because what is pure devotional service? Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving the lotus feet of Krishna, offering worship to Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, serving Krishna and ultimately surrendering Atma Nivedanam to Krishna. So this is pure devotional service. Now here, Krishna, so here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving further explanation to what it really means when Krishna is saying to Arjuna that you don't have the adhikar to perform pure devotional service. So he is saying, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains there are two kinds of bhakti. Now if you can understand these two kinds of bhakti, then every day when you are performing your activities, you know whether you are performing bhakti or you are performing something else, doing something else. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there are two types of bhakti. One is called the Pradhana Bhuta Bhakti. Pradhana Bhuta Bhakti means that bhakti is prominent in our activity. And the second is saying Guni Bhuta Bhakti, where bhakti is not predominant. So when we are performing our activities, when you are performing our activities, if that activities is not one of the angas of bhakti, but yet that activity, that devotional sentiments is predominant, then that activity, Krishna is saying, then that activity is considered Pradhana Bhuta Bhakti. That activity is bhakti is superior, but other karma and jnana is also involved, but which is on the lower side. So most of us, majority of us, those of us who are working especially, you know, those who are not living in the temple and serving the temple, you know, most of us come in the category of Guni Bhuta Bhakti. Because we do our 2 hours chanting, 1 hour of deity worship, and the rest of the day we are at work, you know, talking to our bosses, talking to our colleagues, which may not be devotional service. As long as you are thinking that this is not part of devotional service. And most of us, as soon as we leave the temple, we think that is a different life. The work that I do in my laboratory, the work that I do in my computers, that's something else. Then that activity becomes Guni Bhuta. Bhakti is not predominating. But for a devotee who has understanding of these principles, his work also becomes devotional service. Because I am doing this activity for Krishna. So now here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that what determines whether the activity is pure devotional service or not. So for a devotee, he is not offering the activity and the results of the activity after the fact. For a devotee, before he even begins the activity, now here Krishna is saying, whatever you do in charity, you do it for me. So Krishna is emphasizing the activity that you are saying, do this activity for me. But that is not pure devotional service. So what is pure devotional service? That even before the activity is begun, I am offering myself to Krishna. I am offering myself to Krishna. The Krishna here, I am offering myself to you and I am also offering the activities to you even before the activity has begun. Then that activity becomes pure devotional service. Now try to understand. Now you may say this is not the anga of devotional service. So how it is pure devotional service? So we'll come to that. Now the first principle of pure devotional service, the first principle, the first anga of devotional service is Guru Pada Ashraya. Now we are coming to the closer to the essence of this discussion. Now most of us, we don't know what is our adhikar. Adhikar meaning what am I fit for? Am I fit for karma yoga? Am I fit for jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, और भक्ति योगा, मोस्ट ऑफ अस थिंक वी आर फिट फॉर भक्ति योगा. समटाइम्स वी हैव द डिल्यूजन, वाई इज गुरु टेलिंग मी टू वॉश द पॉट्स, वाई इज ही सेंडिंग मी आउट इन द कोल्ड टू डिस्ट्रीब्यूट बुक्स, राइट? बिकॉज दैट्स नॉट पार्ट ऑफ दैट्स नॉट द अंग ऑफ डिवोशन सर्विस. इन द 64 अंगस देयर इज नो मेंशन ऑफ डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग बुक्स, सो वाई इज माई गुरु एंगेजिंग मी इन दिस सर्विस? So this confusion is there because we don't understand the subtle nuances of devotional service. The first principle is Guru, Shri Guru Padashraya, that we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Now when we take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, what does he do? He engages us in a service that he thinks we are fit for. So if your guru is telling you that you go and water the plant every day outside, 24 hours a day, that is pure devotional service for you. Why? Because to follow Vishrambena Shri Guru Seva, to follow the instructions, to follow the guidance of the spiritual master is pure devotional service. So when our spiritual master is sending us out in the cold weather to distribute books, that's pure devotional service for us. Although it may seem like a mundane, it's like a karmic activity. But because this is one of the angas of devotional service, we are able to perform devotional service with this mentality. So this is very, very important for us to understand. When we are performing our activities, what is predominating in our activity? Is bhakti predominating activity or is karma or jnana? That's why Srila Rupa Goswami, when he defines bhakti, his definition of bhakti, what does he say? Jnana karma anavrita. He doesn't say jnana karma shunya. It's very interesting. He doesn't say that bhakti means there should be no karma, there should be no jnana. He doesn't say shunya. He says anavrata. Avrata means to cover. Bhakti activities that is not covered by jnana or karma, that is bhaktir uttama, according to Rupa Goswami. So karma and jnana has to be there, will be there. But predominantly it should not cover bhakti. Karma should not cover bhakti. Jnana should not cover bhakti. Because one of the definition of sadhana bhakti is kriti sadhya. We are serving with our senses. So when we are serving, when we are doing an activity, it is karma. But what is the sentiment behind it? Predominantly it is devotion. Because my guru is telling me to do this, I am doing it. Now guru is telling me to chant 16 rounds. Now you and I may not have space for chanting the holy names. But because we are following the instruction of Guru, then someday Bhakti Adhikar will be awarded to us. Srila Prabhupada told one sannyasi, when he gave him sannyas, that for the next 10 years, you should go out and preach rigorously. And after 10 years, you come to Vrindavan and sit and chant Hare Krishna 24 hours. Now please, if you want, you can try this. You know, just try chanting 24 hours a day. Shishi Kishore Kishori ki jai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadramani ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. I can't see the time, so somebody has to tell me if I'm over or close. What's the time? Okay. See, even the time also we can tell accurately. 3:55, 4, any more? So I lost my train of thought. Ah yes. So the bhakti adhikar, now this is very interesting because Krishna doesn't even have, or Krishna doesn't give us the adhikar for bhakti. This is very interesting. Krishna has given that service to his devotee. So only when a devotee matures by rigorously serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master for years and years and years, then when the Guru is pleased, he bestows the mercy of bhakti to his disciple. Now you may chant for millions of years, unless Sri Guru gives us, he awards us the bhakti adhikar, we will not get bhakti, we will not get pure devotional service. So that's why Rupa Goswami says, the first 10 principles of the 64 angas are like the entry. They are like the entry to perform other devotional activities. And of the first being, Sri Guru Padashraya. Then you take initiation from the spiritual master. And the third one is Vishrambena Guru Seva. So these three are such an important principles. Usually the tendency is that when somebody, especially if your spiritual master tells us to do something, the tendency is that maybe somebody else should do it. Or we grudgingly or unwillingly try to do it. But we have to understand that we are in this path of devotional service where this is the principle by which we can make spiritual progress. So this verse, Yat Karoshi Adashnashi, this verse from 9th chapter, Krishna is telling Arjuna that your qualification, no doubt, you are my dear friend and devotee, but your qualification is not yet for pure devotional service. So the technical term that Vishwanath Thakur uses, he says that you are qualified to perform Nishkama Karma Jnana Mishra Pradhana Bhuti Bhakti. It's a long technical term, but it's very straightforward. He's saying, Arjuna, you don't have to perform activities with some selfish interest. You are beyond it. So you do activity nishkam, without anything in return. Now karma, because you have to fight. And jnana, because in the next 11th chapter, Krishna is going to give him knowledge about himself. In the 10th chapter, Krishna talks about himself. So that jnana is there. Mishra. Mishra means mixed. Devotional service mixed with karma and jnana, but bhakti is predominating. So Krishna is telling you, you do this for me. And in that, Vishwanath Thakur explains that how the adhikar for bhakti is sitting with the spiritual master. Only he can award us bhakti adhikar. To chant, to perform shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam 24 hours a day. So the first part of sacrifice, how do we always remember Krishna? By chanting the holy names. And how do we always not forget Krishna? Is by engaging our senses in Krishna's service. When we are able to do this two activities with these principles that Krishna is giving in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then we can qualify ourselves for pure devotional service. Because right now we are doing pure devotional service, but that's not predominating. That's not predominating. Because we don't have the understanding of what it really means to do pure devotional service. Because pure devotional service is just 24 hours. What is in the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami is giving the Upadesha Saram. What is the Upadesha Saram according to Rupa Goswami? 24 hours a day engaging in nicely hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. According to Rupa Goswami, this is the essence of all advices. This is pure devotional service. But we cannot do that yet. That's why it is extremely important for us to follow the instructions of our spiritual masters. Whatever instructions, whether we like it or we don't like it, we have to do it to receive the gift of pure devotional service. Only then we become qualified to perform Kevala Bhakti or pure devotional service. Till then we have to patiently, Vishrambena Sri Guru Seva, we have to continue very systematically, very patiently follow the orders of our spiritual master. Because Krishna has given that gift to the spiritual master and he can bestow that mercy on us. So until then, continue doing whatever we are doing in relationship to this understanding whether bhakti is predominating or karma or jnana is predominating. I hope I am not confused all of you. If I have, then we can discuss. If there's any questions or comments, we can discuss now.
Spiritual master's mercy is always there. We need to receive it. So how do I understand? I mean, what is the relationship between what you said and this we always hear?
Can you state that? I'm not following your question.
Like, spiritual master's mercy is always there, It is said. Whenever we seek for mercy, our Guru Maharaj says that my mercy is there. But we also hear that we are not in a position to receive it right now properly. So, and like as you explained, that only when spiritual master gives his mercy, then only we can be there on the platform of pure devotion. But then we also hear that his mercy is always there. So how can I like receive his mercy now if it is there? Because only after getting his mercy, I can be elevated on the spiritual platform.
So when our spiritual master tells us that his mercy is always there, he's naturally encouraging us. He's naturally encouraging us to do more and more service. But the mercy of a spiritual master is felt within our heart when our heart becomes attracted to Krishna. Right? When our heart becomes attracted to Krishna, when we are reading Shastras, when we get realization, that realization is the mercy of Krishna, mercy of our spiritual master. That's real mercy. Otherwise, when our Guru is telling you that my mercy is there, that mercy is basically an encouragement. Because we need a lot of encouragement from our Guru to serve. If our Guru doesn't give us that inspiration, if the Guru doesn't give us that mercy in the form of encouragement, we will not be able to serve. Sometimes even you may make hundreds of mistakes. The Guru is still smiling, okay, continue on. He is giving us more and more opportunities to serve. So that is the mercy. So that is the mercy that you mentioned in the beginning, when Guru is telling that my mercy is always upon you. He is not going to let go of you. No matter how many mistakes you make, he is not going to let go of you. That doesn't mean that we continue doing the mistakes. So from that perspective, yes, his mercy is there. But when I'm mentioning that when the award comes, when we get realizations, when we get tattva jnana, when we get jnana about Krishna, Krishna's name, form, we are able to understand and we are able to realize that. That is coming from our spiritual master. Krishna becomes revealed. Now we are looking at Krishna, we are looking at Shri Shri Kishore Kishori. He may look like a stone to us, a beautiful stone, dressed nicely. But the day we see there is all kinds of pastimes happening on the altar, that's the mercy of our spiritual master. And you will naturally feel, because that's the meaning of Guru mercy. Guru's mercy means that in our heart we feel that I am getting transformed. That transformation is the effect of our service to the spiritual master. And when he becomes pleased, that mercy will flow. It's not that one day he will call and touch your head and say, okay, now you got bhakti. And then you feel suddenly some electrified or something. It's not like that. Because the relationship that a spiritual master and a disciple, the relationship is the relationship of the heart. And what connects the guru and disciple is seva. The only way we can stay connected with our spiritual master is service. If you're thinking about something else, then that is something else. The only way we can stay connected with our spiritual master is through service. either directly to him, to his representatives, or to whatever he tells us to do. He may send you to South Africa and say you stay there for the rest of your life and serve the deities there. That is service to your spiritual master. So there are so many subtle nuances to that. But to specifically answer your question, yes, when you receive the mercy of a spiritual master, that curtain of avidya, the curtain of avidya is slowly destroyed. Slowly and gradually destroyed, and then you're able to see things as they are. That is Guru Kripa. That comes when we serve Guru with attention and with devotion. Make sense?
Maharaj, mercy is always there in the sense that he is encouraging us all the time. He's giving us, in one sense, opportunities and encouraging us through his instructions in so many ways. When I am receiving it, I am realizing it sincerely and then follow very sincerely, then I will get further realizations. That is his actual mercy. That is so. My endeavor part is important also here, very, very much.
Supremely important.
Yeah.
Our endeavors are supremely important because we cannot, when we can see in Srila Prabhupada's life also, Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master only 5 times. But one of Srila Prabhupada's most potent quality, which his guru found out when Prabhupada went to see his spiritual master, and he was hearing his lecture, Prabhupada sat in the front and Prabhupada was attentively hearing, and every other disciple left and Prabhupada was the only one sitting and hearing to his spiritual master. And after that, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that, I have come to the understanding that Abhay hears very attentively. So in future, whatever he writes, you should publish. So you see, Guru noticed that. His spiritual master noticed that, and as soon as he noticed something, he gave his mercy. So Prabhupada had that quality. He was hearing, that's why in the beginning I was mentioning, this quality of hearing is so important. Because this hearing attracted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur towards Srila Prabhupada and gave him his mercy. And whatever Prabhupada did, it's by the mercy of his spiritual master. Prabhupada said that every moment I was being guided by my spiritual master. Prabhupada is sitting here as a Jagat Guru, but it was all possible because of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sushnakur's mercy that he bestowed upon him. So this aspect of mercy is extremely important. Beg, borrow, steal, they say. So somehow or the other, attract the mercy of a spiritual master. The only way the spiritual master is attracted to give his mercy is when we sincerely serve him and serve his orders. Whether you like it or don't like it, do it. And we'll see the result. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for the very nice insights. My question is, Prabhu, I was thinking, we are doing bhakti yoga and we are doing akarma. I'm not accruing any karma. From today's class, is my understanding that until the spiritual master gives you the adhikar to do pure devotional service, I'm still accruing some karma?
No. So, the moment you take shelter of the spiritual master, so from there on, whatever you're doing, right, whatever you're doing, as long as it is in accordance to the order of the spiritual master, you're not accruing any karma. Although there may be certain aspect of yoga, karma, or jnana may be predominating, but you are in the shelter of a spiritual master. So whatever he is telling you, you are doing it. So the aspect of karma, when does the aspect of karma comes in? When you are trying to do things independently. But as long as you are doing things according to the instructions of scriptures and according to your spiritual master's instruction, then you don't accrue any karma. Whatever you have to incur, whatever reaction is coming, that will come. But no new reaction is going to come because your past is getting cleaned. From going forward from here on, you can either go up or you can still go down, because if you make an offenses, then You're getting degraded. That's the understanding. Yes, we have a question.
Hare Krishna. My pure devotional service, my pure devotional service is, could that be the effect of that? Could that be due to my past karma also, the way I'm performing it? It could be affected by my past karma.
Say that again one more time.
My pure devotional service that I'm doing at present,
mm-hmm.
whether good or bad, or the amount, the weightage of that, could it be possible that I am doing it in this particular way because of my past karma?
Oh yeah.
Good or bad?
Yeah. Because our past samskaras, whatever we are right now is because of our past samskaras, whatever conditioning that we have. Every activity that we do, that activity creates an impression on our chitta, on our subconscious mind. It creates an impression. And that impression will lead us to do more and more of those good or bad activities. So yes, so now if you are saying that I have come in contact, you cannot come in contact with devotees without having some bhakti on mukhi sukruti. Without having the sukruti, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna says that who are the four kinds of people who come to me? And Krishna says they have sukruti. Without having sukruti, without having some pious good credits, you cannot come face to face to devotee. Now we use the word causeless. It's all causeless, right? My coming in front of a devotee or my hearing, it's causeless. But even for that causeless, there is a cause, because you need some sukruti. So while I'm performing devotional service, our understanding is that it's the mercy of our spiritual master. Because of his mercy, we are able to do devotional acts. Now tomorrow, yes, because of this, whatever act, as I was mentioning, that whatever you are doing today, your body is getting created. Now for us, it could be a spiritual body or it could be a body in the heaven. We don't know. Depending on the intensity of our devotional service, that will be determined. So to answer your question, yes, based on your past, you are sitting here today and hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita. But now, what you are going to do now, that will determine whether in future you will sit here or you will sit in a theater somewhere. That is in your hand.
But then Guruji, everybody is not in the same plane then. Because now everybody over here, we are all disciples, we are all practicing bhakti. But then because of past deeds, different devotees would be at different planes. Is it?
Yeah, I mean naturally the advancement will differ. The level of advancement and the level of individual's understanding differs based on our samskaras. Based on our past samskaras, yes. There's no doubt about it. Right? Whatever I'm speaking, everybody is able to absorb differently based on that person's purity.
I mentioned this in the past also, I'm mentioning it again. But then over here, we are fortunate we are here. But there are unfortunate people who cannot have the mercy or cannot come here. What about them? They go deeper and deeper with every life, down and down.
Yeah, depend. That's why this whole Sankirtan movement is that we go out to give that mercy. We are not expecting, because we know there are some souls who will not come here. That's why we go out. We go out in Sankirtan. That's why the Lord Jagannath goes out every year in the cart, to give that mercy to others. That's a very good question. I'm happy that you're feeling like that. We all should feel like that, that I am so fortunate that I'm sitting here and hearing this class and sitting in front of Shishi Krishna. What about those souls out there? So that's why we have this whole month of book marathon. So we want to give that books. We want to make them also fortunate. So we are forcing sukruti on them, whether they like it or not. But just that one appreciation, yesterday I was listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada says that the first step or the first ladder to climb the devotional service is appreciation. So if somebody can appreciate devotee, the process of devotional service, his devotional life begins. You bring somebody to temple and they see the beautiful form of Shishu Kishu, they say, wow, they're so dressed beautifully. That's it, their devotional life starts. So that's why when we go out, you know, we dress nicely, we dance nicely, we sing nicely, we have, you know, wonderful prasadam, we distribute that. So naturally when somebody becomes appreciative of that, as Srila Prabhupada says, when somebody appreciates that, the devotional career starts. So yes, it's nice to think like that. We want to make millions and millions of souls fortunate. Because we want to give. Bhakti is not something where we keep it to ourselves. Just imagine if Srila Prabhupada would have kept it to himself in Vrindavan. I don't know, this temple won't be there and we won't be sitting here. But because he left, because he wanted to give. Srila Prabhupada said that preaching is our family business. So we want to give this mercy to as many souls as possible. Without any restriction. Bring them in contact with the process of devotional service. Now try to understand that bhakti is not depending on our karma or jnana. Bhakti is independent. It is not of this world. Bhakti is not part of this world. The hearing of our Krishna, the chanting about Krishna's holy name, remembering Krishna, these are all activities of another world. So there is no qualification required as such. The qualification is Shraddha. The initial faith. Just the faith that let me check this out. Who are these people? They don't look miserable. At least some of them don't. They look happy. And we want to be happy. You want to be happy? You are here, you are smiling, so you want to be happy. And the way to become happy is to take shelter of those people, especially in devotional service, those devotees who are happy. We have miserable devotees also. Again, I don't want to lie to you. Something they are not doing right. That's why they are miserable. But we have happy devotees also. So you take shelter of the happy devotees and then you naturally become happy. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.